Connell McShane joins us now from News Nation. Hi, Connell. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. How's it going?
We're still pretty dazzled about the Pope coming from Chicago, and now that he's going to be on the big screen at Sox Park, folks are buying the tickets this morning, Connell.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, listen, I was every city would like to have a Pope. You know, it's pretty cool.
I know.
That whole thing at the beginning where they thought he was a Cubs fan, then he was a White Sox fan, I got a kick out of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know that the rest of the world's paying much attention to it. And it's on our back page now, but it still pops up. We're still very happy about the whole thing.
You should be. You should be. You should be proud of the Pope. Or are you guys going with the Pope? Is that that's the issue now out there, I guess?
Mine is Pope Bob. Pope Bob. Pope Bob.
It's kind of cool to have a Pope named Bob, right? Pope Bob.
Southside Pope.
I like that.
He's your Southside Pope. Okay, let's stop dancing around now. What's going on with China? Where are we? What's going on, please?
Well, it doesn't seem like things are going swimmingly in the negotiations between the U.S. and the Chinese. The Treasury Secretary went on TV last night, Scott Bessent, and said that the talks on trade had become a bit stalled. That was a quote. So now the president has been... Well, he had at least one quote-unquote rant, I guess you would call it, on the social media this morning. He says China's violated agreements that the U.S. had with China. It's not specific in terms of how they violated the agreement. This was, I guess, when they had the talks in Geneva, or what he would do in terms of taking action. But he basically, his point was like, all right, that's what you get for being a nice guy, implying that maybe he wouldn't be anymore. So not great. Of course, the president also looking to... put a halt to Chinese students coming in to study in the United States. So I would say tense is probably a good way of describing it.
Our relationship with China right now, yeah. I didn't know if the banning of Chinese students was a function of his anger at China or his whole anger at all of the international students that are at places like Harvard. I did see an interesting statistic. The cost of fewer international students in the United States, according to Forbes, there are more than 1.1 million students from abroad enrolled in U.S. colleges in the 23-24 academic year. That amounts to $43.8 billion infusion into the U.S. economy. And that's not even including the foreign travelers, tourists that come to the United States. I have those numbers, too. But because kids come to the United States to study at places like Harvard and Northwestern and the University of Chicago, we get $44 billion a year. I wonder if the president's cutting off our nose to spite our face on this.
Possibly in terms of if you look at it in a broad way, for example, putting caps on the total number of international students, I think that kind of makes your point for you, because a lot of people say, well, these are the students that pay the full fare. They pay the full tuition in normal circumstances. I actually had a Harvard professor on the show last night who was saying that in Harvard's case, that's not always the case because they apparently base their aid on, you know, it's all need-based. So if somebody, no matter if you're coming from China or you're coming from Chicago, whatever you make, that's how they base it. But a lot of schools, the foreign students are paying full tuition. And then they stay and contribute to the economy. Sometimes they come from, a place like South Africa and then startup companies like X.com that became PayPal and then Tesla and so on and so forth. So Elon Musk is obviously one of many examples of people who've done that. So all of that is true. And so are some, I think, at least, of the national security concerns that the president brings up, particularly
right,
with modern-day China. I think that's a fair conversation to have. Years ago, having people come in from China to study in the United States, used to call it soft diplomacy. It probably was a good idea, and maybe it still is to some extent. But taking a look at some of this, not a bad idea. I mean, there have been many Communist Party officials. Xi Jinping himself, by the way, the Chinese president, who have sent their children to study here. That could be fine, but his daughter graduated from Harvard in 2014, I think. But in some other cases, there have been certainly accusations, and sometimes we've had high-profile cases where students and or professors at some point have actually been working, you know, with the Chinese government. So I think taking a look at that, particularly with where our relationship is with China specifically right now, fair point. But do we want to be cutting down on international students overall? Probably not, because of all the contributions that they make.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I guess if we don't want people to have TikTok on their phone because we're worried about how that might have a connection to China, so too might the human beings that come from China. But this all starts to feel just a little paranoid to me, too. I mean, I'm sure there are spies from China here already, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that banning students, I'm not sure the upside is worth the downside, all of that. And I don't even know that they've made that calculation. Let's go back to the trade issue for a moment, though. So we don't know exactly what, like, we still have until July, or I thought we had until July for the pause in the 145% tariff with China. What is the status of that right now?
Yes. So there's time to figure this out in some sort of a negotiation. But the problem, I suppose, right now is that those negotiations that are happening in this interim period between now and then are not going well. I mean, that's essentially what Bessin hinted at last night, and then what Trump basically confirmed, at least from the United States point of view this morning, saying, hey, this, they're going back on what they said they would do. Or, you know, it's unclear. So maybe the Chinese said, hey, this is on the table, you know, whatever it may be, and now it's not. Or maybe they actually actually broke some sort of an agreement. It's not clear because Trump didn't say exactly what it was. But other than the quote was, if they totally violated the its agreement. So much for being Mr. Nice Guy. So they've given themselves this deadline to work in, and if they can't get the talks, you know, make some sort of advance in that time frame, then you got a problem. Of course, then the other problem the president has is the courts with the ruling that went against them the other day, right? But now that's kind of an interesting one because there's all these old trade laws. The one that they had in question was 1977. There's another one from 1974. So I think the president could probably find ways to maybe work around the courts if he wants to. But that's the other impediment he has to, can he really threaten things in negotiations if the courts are going to say, no, that's illegal to begin with?
This three-panel international trade panel of judges, federal judges, I didn't know we had one of those. How interesting.
Right.
One of whom was appointed by Trump himself. Another one that's appointed by a Democrat. The third, I'm not sure if it was a Democrat or a Republican judge that appointed him, but unanimously they agreed that the tariffs were illegal. But then another judge has not ruled on that per se, but has at least paused that so that if the president did want to still insist on tariffs, they would be in place. Is that right?
Yeah, basically. No, not basically. It is right. I mean, but the issue here is now, from all of our reporting, and I've seen some other reporting, Wall Street Journal and other places, the administration, the president's aides and the trade people, they're looking at kind of a plan B or a plan C on this. So basically what the court said, to your point, is this: well, you're declaring it's an emergency, and we're saying, no, this is not an emergency, so you don't have the authority to implement some of these tariffs. Not all of them, but the majority of them. And, you know, that seems to be, from the legal people we talked to, a relatively sound ruling. It's like the president probably did go too far in terms of what he was allowed to do with this particular section of the trade law that, again, passed in 1977. But in terms of the plan B, they're looking at – something called the Trade Act of 1974 – there's other trade acts that passed in the earlier part of the 20th century. They're looking at some of these other measures to see, hey, maybe we could say implement tariffs under those. So I think that they can probably find some workarounds, but you know, it might hamper their negotiating ability, right? Because if you can't say, hey, if you don't come through with this, we're going to slap 100% tariff on you if the other country doesn't believe you. So, you know, we'll see.
Those justices were appointed by Trump, Reagan, Trump, and Obama.
Okay.
The three-panel judge, the three-judge panel. And they also said that there's just not a national emergency.
Right.
That's the lever you need, and you don't have it. But I hear what you're saying about maybe workarounds, but they wouldn't be maybe as blunt or easy to use as what the president has been using. And now we're out of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. Look at the time.
Well, Connell, you have a good afternoon, and sort all of this out, and we'll watch you on TV. How does that sound?
Yeah, I'll get it solved before the weekend for you, John. I'll talk to you next week.
Hooray, right. Somebody's finally going to figure it out. That's Connell McShane from News Nation. You can watch him on Comcast 223 starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. He's on The Dish and DirecTV 2.